Hello, hello, loves. Welcome to Kendra Stories with me, Kimmy Cool. If you're new here, thank you for tuning in. We're so glad to have you. Welcome. And if you're true here, welcome back. If you do not already, like, comment, follow, subscribe. We're on Facebook and IG at Kendra Stories with Kimmy Cool. We are on X, formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok at With Kimmy Cool. Do not forget to use the hashtag KSWKK. That's KSWKK when posting about Kendra Stories with Kimmy Cool. How have you all been? It has been so long since you've heard the sound of my voice, and I have missed you all so much. Life has definitely been lifing for your girl. But we are here, we are back, we are tuned in, and I have so many great things in store for you all. Season 3 is underway, and I cannot wait to share with you all. Again, it's let's get into it. Without further ado, we are delayed, never denied. Season 3, Kendra Stories with Kimmy Cool. I do want to give you a discretion. This episode may be a trigger for those of you who've been in domestic violence relationships. Please be advised. You never know how what you do or say may affect other people. I aspire to make a positive impact on anyone that comes into my life. Like, I genuinely want to help people, and I believe that my purpose is to help people through healing. That is a lot of the reason why I started this podcast. For me to heal and maybe help others heal through my stories or my own experience. That's why you will hear me constantly talk about therapy, 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 because mental health is so important, especially in today's time where life can be extremely overwhelming and is constantly going and changing. And social media, oh my goodness, social media will have you feeling like your life is in third world country poverty compared to others, because comparison is the thief of joy. I can't stress enough how important it is to just tune in with self and get grounded and recenter. Season 3 was on hold for so long because, like I said, life was life. It had gotten to the point to where I was ready to give up altogether. I was drowning in silence because I was always the strong one. Everyone has had this going on and that going on, and I was always the shoulder to cry on, with the tissues for the tears, the hugs for the comfort. I was everyone else's strength. So I thought that there was no way anyone could be the strength that I needed. You have to stop trying to be that super person. Like, you cannot save everyone. You can't. It's impossible. In trying to save everyone, you yourself end up needing to be saved. So, let me tell you a story. It has been over 2 years since I've dropped an episode, because some of you know, some of you don't, I was in a relationship and it almost killed me. This man was my best friend. We've known each other since we were kids. I was 12, he was 14. He was my little boyfriend. As parents would say, my little friend. His family and my family were friends. Everyone knew each other. My mom actually dated his dad when they were kids. It was a real Hallmark story. We always stayed in touch throughout the years. He was there for me when I went through my divorce. He would be in he would be in and out of the hospital. So I would always check on him, make sure he was okay, make sure he was good. We ended up losing touch with each other for a while, but we always seemed to find each other again. We were good and grown and had decided that we were finally going to give us a try. Why not, right? To me, it seemed like the perfect idea because this is my best friend. He knows everything about me. He knows everything it is to know. I could talk to him about any and everything. And most importantly, he did not play about me. So we gave it a go. He lived out of state, so we decided that he would move here so that we could be together. He moved in with me, and it was amazing in the beginning. It really was a Hallmark story until it turned into a Lifetime movie. Now, mind you, he had just gotten out of the hospital. He had just had a major procedure done due to his condition. So I wanted to make sure that he was good, make sure he was taken care of. So I worked because at the time he couldn't, and I had no problem with that. So of course he stayed home and I worked, and he eventually got better, but nothing changed as far as the dynamics of who took care of the household. Then the little things started to change. Like, he started hiding his phone. He changed the lock code. I started getting harassed by females from his past. And when I say females, it wasn't one or two females. It was like three or four. Even the daughter of someone that he used to talk to reached out to me and she said, "Can you tell him to leave my mama alone? He already took her stuff. He put his hands on her. I just hope he don't do the same thing to you." And before I can even respond, she blocked me. Now, here I am with this message, and I'm like, I'm not seeing that. Like, this man is so kind and so gentle, and especially when it comes to me. And I'm just not seeing him putting his hands on a woman, okay? I'm not seeing it, especially knowing his upbringing and knowing his dad and how his dad is. I wasn't seeing. Like I said, things have started to change. Flaws began to surface. Differences had began to come to light. And it's safe to say we were no longer in the honeymoon phase. We had started to argue a lot. We weren't having sex. We were just basically roommates. Like, we would go days of being in the same house and not speaking to each other at all. So this one particular day, we got into an argument, and I don't even remember what it was about, but I do remember that I was talking mad shit because this female inboxed me and sent me screenshots of them on video call. Now, I know what y'all are thinking. It could have been, oh, this and that, but no, it wasn't. His face wasn't even in the camera. He had his naked ass laying on my couch with his dick in the camera. So while I'm at work, you're laid up on video call. And you know how I have the timestamp. So they were on the phone for hours. Like, you're on the phone for hours while I'm at work so that I can take care of us. But you're quote unquote sick. Like, I didn't say anything to her when she inboxed me other than, "What do you want me to do about that?" Because that's between you and him. That's not my business. He had obviously made all kind of promises to her that he, of course, didn't keep. So yeah, like my beef was will never be with the other woman ever. Like my man is my man, my man, my man, my man. Like you as the other woman don't owe me any loyalty, so I have no beef with you. So I was talking about him not doing anything but laying up on the phone while I'm at work. I was going to work. I would have to be at work at 6 a.m. I work 12 hours. So I wasn't getting home until 7:30, 8 o'clock. I get home. Nothing is clean. Nothing. So I would have to clean so that I can cook all of this before I could shower and go to bed. Because mind you, I have to be at work at 6. My commute was 45 minutes. So I'm up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning so that I can be to work on time. So when she messaged me, I said something to him, but I didn't really just go into it. Like I didn't go in about it. So that particular day, something else happened and I don't even remember exactly what it was either, but it was something small. And I think it may have been to the effect of like him not washing dishes or not taking out the trash, something of that nature. But I blew up and he was playing the game and he's ignoring me. Now, anybody that knows me know that I absolutely hate being ignored if I'm talking to you. So I snatched the plugs out the wall, like everything, the game, the TV, the Wi-Fi, the soundbar, everything got unplugged with one swoop, and that pissed him off. Now I'm satisfied because now you're pissed off like I am. So I was already getting ready to head out the door. So I proceed to leave and he said, "You worried about me texting," whatever the woman's name was, I don't remember. "You worried about me texting her, that's because you ain't got shit on her." Oh, okay. Well, excuse the fuck out of me. But I simply said, "Oh, you must think you're the only one with options. At least I get to lay up with mine." And I walked out and closed the door. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, I wasn't dealing with anybody at all on any level. I just knew it was going to piss him off. But I didn't realize it was going to be to the extent of him running out the house behind me. So he comes out the house and he swings to like slap me and I dodge, but he still knocks my glasses and my cap off. Like I had on a fitted cap. So he knocks off my glasses and my cap and I'm like, "Oh, you hit me. I'm calling the police." So he's like, "I don't give a fuck. You can call the police." I'm like, "Get out of my house. Get your stuff so I can take you to the bus station and you can go." And he's like, "I'm not going anywhere, this and that." Now, mind y'all, this man is 6'4", every bit of 250, 260 pounds. He's a big man. So I definitely wasn't about to fight him. I called the police. So the police pull up and his whole demeanor changes. So he's like, "Babe, please, I'm sorry, whatever, whatever." And I'm like, "No, I want you gone." He said, "Okay, I'll leave. Just tell the police to leave. Just don't send me to jail." So the police told me they couldn't even make him leave anyways because he had been there almost a year. So it was considered his residence. So he wasn't on the lease, but I really think it was because they were scared of him, because I said, like, he's a big stature of a man. Like, he hadn't got any mail there to say, "Oh, like, I live here." It was just like his word, like, "Okay, I've been here such and such time," or whatever. So the police just told me to leave since I was leaving anyway, so that we could cool down. So I leave. He's texting me saying how he's cool on me because I'm the police and I tried to get him locked up. Never mind the fact that his big ass tried to full force open-handed slap me. So we eventually end up making amends, but that incident was a precedent for the rest of the relationship. Like, it was an underlying thing for both of us, not just me, because in the back of my mind, you put your hands on me, knowing all that I've been through prior to you. And in the back of his mind, I called the law on him. And we all know, as a street dude, that's a no-no. Like, it's always a no-no. So things only went further downhill from there. Fast forward a few months, maybe at this point, I'm tired. And I tell him, look, you're well enough to work. Get a job because I'm tired of doing this on my own. This nigga looked at me and said, if I wasn't here, you would still have these bills. What? And it was then that I knew that I was done, because what do you mean? Yes, I would still have these bills, but what kind of man wants to lay up on their woman for free? Like, you don't cook, you don't clean, you're not paying bills because obviously you're not working. Like, what is your contribution other than dick? I remember one time we were having sex and he had already asked me to do something for him, and I told him no. When I say this man turned me every which way but loose, I mean, the sex was already great, okay? Like, we've always had great sex. So the sex was already great, but this particular day, he tried to really fuck the yes out of me. And in the midst of it, I realized that, and I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So at that point, I realized I was done. I told him, I don't want to do this. You know, we've been friends for too long to not know when to walk away. And I think it was like the beginning of October of that year. I believe I told him, you have until the end of November to get a job or you have to leave. So the very next day, he goes and gets a job. Now, he had been telling me that, such and such, they said they was going to put me on where they work at. You know, I'm waiting on a call back. So it was a warehouse behind where I live. Like, you could literally stand on my back porch and see it. That's how close it was to my house. So he told me that he had already applied there like a few weeks back, maybe a month or so, and was waiting on a call back. Come to find out, he lied, because that next day, that's where he applied and they hired him on the spot. So my work schedule had changed by then. Now I was working and going to school. I was in Barber College. I get off of work, go straight to school. By the time I make it home, it's 6:37. I study, do my homework, clean, shower, and cook so that this man could have a hot meal on the table when he gets off work at 11:30, 12 o'clock. He was on second shift, so this is by midnight. He would come home and inspect the house, asking, was it clean, because I had a man there while he was at work. Like, really? Now, man, y'all, he could literally walk home on a break, eat, and be back with time to spare. This is how close in proximity we were to his job. Why would that even make sense for me to have someone in the house? So then he started wanting me to pick him up from work when it was a 5-minute walk. It may not have even been a 5-minute walk. So I have to get out of bed at midnight to get him, then get back home, take whatever little nap I could once I finally fall back to sleep, and be up at 3:34 to be at work myself. Things only got worse. By this point, we were really just dealing with each other. Like, we were tolerating each other. We weren't really just dealing with each other. We barely had sex. We weren't really communicating. We didn't spend a lot of time together. We weren't really spending holidays together. Like, I told him I didn't want to do us anymore. He suggested we go to counseling, but instead of doing professional counseling, he wanted us to talk with his dad, who's a pastor. Now, I wasn't opposed to talking to his dad, but this was around the time that I started ascending into spirituality, and that was a problem for him and his dad, because tarot cards and sage and hoodoo and air quotes are the devil. So I had already checked out of the relationship, but by this point, I was definitely not folding, bending, or breaking on what I believed or didn't believe in to appease anyone. So we had just barely made a year in the relationship, and my uncle passed away. I had to go out of town for the funeral, and I think he had to work, which was the reason why he didn't come with me. So I went alone. So I get there and I'm with family and I'm at my uncle's memorial and he's blowing my phone up, wanting to talk about us. I'm like, dude, I don't want to talk about us. I don't want to talk about this, at least not right now. Like, I'm at my uncle's memorial service. Why would I want to talk about something we've been talking about for at least the past 4 or 5 months? I'm with my family right now, grieving. So I tell him, I feel like you're being extremely selfish and I'm hanging up. He calls back and of course he gets sent to voicemail and he's crying, basically saying, I don't care about him because he's trying to fix us. And I hung up on him. I was so blue. Like, what's really going on? Like, be for real. So I'm in the Midwest for my uncle's memorial service and it's a blizzard. It's a blizzard coming in that I need to beat. So I'm getting ready to stay head home and it starts snowing. So I'm trying to drive in the snow. And again, he wants to talk. No. Y'all, I ended up messing up my car because I slid into a guardrail. Now, luckily, I wasn't going fast at all because I would have went over. Like, I was scared as fuck and traumatized. I no longer drive in the snow because of that. Okay. So I make it home and he's being extremely extra and he swears that I took someone with me, even though he was supposed to go with me clean up until I got ready to pull out of the driveway. Like, he had his bag in the car and I got ready to leave and he took it down and said, well, I think I have to work. So I'm just going to stay here so that I can go to work. So he's accusing me of messing around, all of this. We ended up getting snow in where I'm live now in Tennessee. So now where I'm from, when it snows, everything shuts down. Like, we do not do snow in the country. Now we're supposed to be getting a lot of snow and he starts tripping. What started out as him wanting me to take him to the liquor store turned into him needing to go to the hospital because his chest or something was hurting. And I told him, I'm not driving in the snow. And he started spazzing. Told me that I didn't know who I was playing with and that I would end up in the field behind my house in the snow. So, of course, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this with you. I called my mama. She sent my daddy to come and get me. I packed a bag and I stayed at my parents' house. I want to say the snowstorm we had lasted like 4 or 5 days. Now, in the process, that same day of me leaving, he got the neighbor next door to take him to the liquor store in urgent care. So he called me and he's going off saying that I gave him an STD and how I wasn't shit, all of this. And I'm just holding the phone knowing that he's lying. So I know that you're lying because I haven't done anything. So he says, they gave me a shot and medicine. You lying, this and that. I said, okay. Send me the paperwork. Now, I said, send me the paperwork and they are going to call me. They're going to contact me. If you have anything, you give them my name. They're going to reach out to me and tell me that I need to go get tested. He says, no, they don't do that. They told me that I had to reach out to you. And I said, oh, okay. Now, I've worked in healthcare for quite a while. I specifically worked in OBGYN. I've worked in hospitals. I've worked in urgent care. So I just said, okay. So again, it's snowing. Everybody is snowed in over the weekend. Monday, I go get tested. My results come back Friday. I call the health department where I went to get tested while I'm at work and get my results. Big negative. Negative. Everything negative. So I call him while I'm at work and I say, so why are my results negative and yours are not? So he's like, okay, we can talk about it. Can you come to the house? Cause I have been in my mom's house for like a week. So he's like, can you bring me the results? We can talk about it. I don't want to beef anymore. I just want to talk. I just want to be able to get past this.
He asked me, could I stop and grab him some beers on the way home? So I get off, I go pick up my results, I grab the beer, and I go to the house. Now I pull up, but I hadn't planned on getting out. And he's like, come on, man, come in the house. I ain't on shit. We can leave the door open and everything. I just want to talk so we can move past all of this. I go in the house and we're sitting at the dining room table and I show him the results. And he's like, okay, they negative. But he's like, who is such and such? And I'm like, who? I don't know. Then he pulls out a piece of mail that came for me maybe like the previous day or that same day. So he pulls out this piece of mail and it was from the doctor's office in OBGYN that he had opened. And he's like, okay, what's this? So I look at it and it's a bill for the OBGYN. Y'all, it's a no call, no show bill for $25 because a few months prior, we thought that I was pregnant. So I had made an appointment, but in the process of waiting for the appointment to come around, we learned that I wasn't pregnant. And I forgot to call and cancel the appointment, hence the bill. It clearly said no call, no show on the bill, on the statement. And he swore that it was a bill because I had went and got tested and got treated for this STD that he claimed he had, he claimed that I had given him, and that I then went and got tested so that my results could be negative. So I'm like, what? Yeah, okay. So I got up to leave and his entire demeanor and face changed. And it was like he transformed into something demonic right before my eyes. So he starts strangling me and punching me, and I'm trying to get to the front door because remember, he said that we could leave the door open. So the door was open. I fall and he drags me into the kitchen and he's punching me. He takes off my Apple Watch and he puts it in a pot with the lid and he's punching me and he's like, tell me his name. What's his name? And I'm like, nobody. He said, tell me his name right now or your mama gonna have another dead daughter. And all I'm thinking is I can't die like this. Like there is no way my life is going to end in this apartment like this. So I'm trying to fight back and he grabs a knife and he tries to stab me with it. And I grab it and we're tussling over this knife. And I have a grip so tight on this knife that it cuts my hand. So he finally gets it and he throws it in the sink. And that's my cue to try to get away. So again, I'm trying to scoot toward the front door. He takes a garbage bag and he puts it on my head telling me that he's going to kill me. I rip the bag and I'm tussling and I'm trying to get to this front door and at least close enough so that somebody can hear me scream for help. So we ended up like going like by the washing machine because how my apartment was set up, you walk in the front door, it's the living room and the dining room together. And then it's the kitchen. If you keep straight, it's the kitchen, which had like a little laundry room in it. So I'm tussling, trying to get into the living room and end up by the washing machine. And he takes bleach and he's telling me he's going to make me drink bleach. So he opens the top and it splashes on me and in my eye a little bit. And we're still tussling. And the entire time he's telling me how my mama is about to bury another daughter and how he's going to kill me if I didn't give him a name. So I finally just say, okay. So he stands up. And I try to get my phone and he notices me trying to get my phone. So he wraps an extension cord around my neck and starts strangling me. But the way that I ended up falling back on the floor, like the way that I was laying on the floor, I was able to put my hand up. So my hand is under the cord. So my hand is in between my neck and the cord. So he then puts on his Timberlands and he's stomping me at 6'4", 250, 260 pounds. So I'm still wiggling and I'm kicking and I'm trying to get to this door and he makes me strip because he realizes that I'm trying to get out the house. So he makes me take off all of my clothes. He makes me strip. So I'm naked. Then he puts the shirt that I had just taken off on my head and tries to drown me by pouring beer the damn beard that I had just bought on my head. And he still asked me, what's the dude name? Now, I cannot swim. So I'm gasping for air. Y'all, it was terrible. So he's still asking me, what's the dude name? What's his name? He said, so you would rather die than tell me his name. You love that nigga that much. And he proceeds to try to set my hair on fire. And I'm guessing because it was wet from the beer, it would light. So he goes back to punching and strangling me. By this time, I'm tired and I'm ready to give up. And at this point, I just remember thinking, there's no way I can have my mama go through the heartbreak she went through with losing my sister. Like, I can't have her go through that again. And I remember thinking to myself, I had previously, like, the situation had gotten so bad, as far as like temperament and all of that in the house, like in the relationship, I had made a protection jar. And I'm thinking to myself, I obviously didn't fucking do it right, because what the fuck? Like, how am I here? So he had just bought a TV, like a few weeks prior to that, a big screen TV that he would play the game on. And I go to kick his TV and he makes me turn over so I wouldn't kick the TV down. He makes me turn over. And when I turn over, he looks at me and just breaks down crying, saying that he's sorry. I get up, and the only thing I can think to do is to make sure that I make it out of there is to act like I care. So I'm telling him it's okay, and I start putting on my clothes. He looks at me and says, we definitely got to get married after this. And he asked me to take him to the store. I took him to the store because he asked me have I ate, and I said no. So he was like, let me go get you something to eat. So I take him to the store, and when he got out, I pulled off. I went to my mama's house, and we called the police. That was, when I say I was so messed up mentally and physically, like, it took so long for me to process what happened. I was not myself for a very long time. I had to wear sunglasses for like 2 weeks because of the bleach. I had blood clots in my eyes from him punching me. Thankfully, I didn't need surgery. The eye doctor said that I was blessed. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Like, my body was in so much pain, like, for like at least 2 weeks after that. It was ridiculous. I ended up moving out of my apartment. Broke my lease. Moved out of my apartment. I quit my job. Like, I was depressed. It's hell, because I felt like I should have listened to that daughter that messaged me earlier on in the beginning. I should have seen the signs. I should have done this. I should have done that. I felt like it was my fault. My life was forever changed that day. No one ever talks about how ending a relationship, no matter how it may have ended, can feel like grieving the loss of yourself on top of losing that person. People will say, how could you possibly be sad about him when he did what he did? But people don't realize that before we were anything, we were friends. Like, we grew up together. I considered this man my friend. Like, I loved him beyond my man. Like, it was deeper than that for me. In therapy after, I realized that it wasn't really a friendship. Like, it was all the things that came up that I, when I started to realize what was going on, I realized, like, I was an opportunity. Whereas I seen him as my friend. But I also felt like I failed me because I overlooked so many things. I let go of so many things. I had given up on podcasting because I felt like, how am I going to try and uplift and encourage others when I failed? When I failed myself, like, when I can't uplift and encourage myself, like, how am I going to do that for anyone else? How am I supposed to help others when I couldn't even help myself? 2 years. 24 months. It took me 2 years to find me again. Like, completely and wholeheartedly find me again. I had written so many episodes, but could never bring myself to put it all together and actually record. And then life happened even more. But recently, someone told me, it was a clear message to me, so keep posting. You never know who you're influencing or helping. And that gave me the push that I needed so that this episode could be done. I had recorded this episode so many times. I started to record it so many times and just stopped because I was still dealing with the emotions and the fallout behind this episode. Like, even now, this recording this episode for to be released now took so many emotions, and I had to stop and deal with so many emotions and stop myself from crying so many times. But that message that I got gave me the push that I needed. So this episode is for you, Sandra K, because you never know who you're helping either. And I needed that encouragement. So thank you. I love you, babe. The thing about life is it's going to happen regardless. Regardless of your mental state, regardless of your means, regardless of your grieving, regardless of your mishaps, it's going to happen. And anyone could be fighting silent battles that they refuse to talk about for whatever reasons. Anyone could be going through and feel like they're on their last straw with life. You never know what a person is going through behind closed doors. A smiling face could oftentimes be hiding a broken heart or depression. You just never know. I know some of you may be like, well, life happens to everybody. That's true. Life does happen to everybody, but everybody does not deal with life the same. This is why it's so important to be kind to people. This is why it's important to extend the same grace to others as you would yourself or as you would want someone to extend to you. This is why it's so important to operate in love, because you just never know how you being kind or encouraging can help or be exactly what the next person needs in that moment. If you or anyone you may know is experiencing domestic violence, help is available at the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 24/7, 365. The number is 1-800-799-7233. Or you can text START, START, to 88788. Help is available. Speak with someone today. Okay, it's time for my favorite segment of the podcast, and that is the Now Keep It Real Kimmy segment. I'm going to leave in the description all the ways that you can connect and you can reach out so that you can leave your stories for me to share with others, or you can ask for advice or whatever you want to do. It's for you. Now, Keep It Real Kimmy is for you all to share with me. You can DM me on the Kendra Stories with Kimmy Cool page on Facebook. You can submit your form via the submission form. I'm going to leave that link in the description. You can also leave a voice message so that I can respond. I'm going to also leave that link in the description. And let's get into this submission, because y'all, when I read it, I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, so here we go.
My boyfriend and I have been dating for 3 years now. We just celebrated our 3-year anniversary in June. For our anniversary, I surprised him with a decorated hotel room and a personal chef. He ended up working later, so I waited for him at the hotel. Of course, the chef and his assistant had to wait with me. While waiting, one thing led to another. We all ended up having a threesome. I just recently found out that I am 16 weeks pregnant, and I am beyond scared that it's not my boyfriend's baby. All he talks about is being a dad. It will be our first child. He's already started picking out baby names, and I just don't have the heart to tell him that the baby may not be his, especially because our personal chef and his assistant was his dad and his stepmom. Okay, listen, let me stop. I'm gonna stop right here. What? What? Like, I did not see that coming. What? Okay. Do I even tell his dad? The stepmom seen me a few weeks ago and said that I looked pregnant. I denied it because she was kind of side-eyeing me. What do I do? I was told I couldn't have kids. Otherwise, I would have never let his father come in me. Please give me some type of advice. I'm glad you're back. You kept me encouraged lots of days. Signed, Anonymous. Listen. First of all, I'm trying to wrap my head around his dad and his stepmom on your anniversary. Like, come on. Then it says, I was told I couldn't have kids. Otherwise, I would have never let his father come in me. Make that make sense. So the only reason you really only feel bad about the fact that you was told that you couldn't have kids. So otherwise you would have made him wrap it up. You would have had him pull out. Like, what is really going on here? 3 years is a long time in this day and age to spend with somebody who does not love you. And I'm going to say that you do not love him. You can't possibly love this man if you had sex with his father and his stepmother on the night of your 3-year anniversary at a function that you put together for him, a function that was supposed to be an intimate setting. Well, you definitely made it intimate. You made it very intimate. I'm really blown away, y'all. Like, I really am. Sweetheart, tell this man now so that he can deal with whatever emotions, and there's going to be a lot of them, I'm sure, whatever emotions that he needs to deal with before this baby gets here. And I'm pretty sure once the baby get here, it's going to be even more emotions, because say that it's not his baby. Say that it isn't his baby, because y'all have been together for 3 years and you said that you couldn't you was told you couldn't have kids. That's the only reason you let dad do what he fill you up. That's the only reason you let dad fill you up, because you was told you couldn't have kids. So apparently you and the boyfriend have been having unprotected sex without precaution and you've never gotten pregnant. So say that it's not your boyfriend's baby. It's going to be so many emotions that he has to deal with when this baby gets here. Like, his son or daughter could potentially be his brother or sister. Like, that's, maybe that's trifling. And there's no other way to put that. Like, that's really trifling and inconsiderate, and it's sad. Like, yeah, that's very unfortunate. So yes, my advice to you, tell him, let him know, so that he can deal with whatever emotions he needs to. If he decides to stay, he decides to stay. Let him make that decision. You don't make that decision for him. You've already done enough. You've already caused enough damage. And then tell his dad and his stepmom, because once you tell him, I'm pretty sure he's going to go full force at dad and stepmom. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, so I would definitely tell him, sweetheart, and you, this is something that you will probably have to deal with for a while, because yeah, just tell him, let him know. I do thank you for listening and I thank you for being a fan. But yeah, this is a lot. This was a lot, but you be blessed, sweetheart, from my mouth to God's ears. You be blessed. And I wish you the best. I really do. And I hope and pray that you get through this and he get through this. Okay. Okay, moving on. This next submission. Do you think your friend's boyfriend could actually be your husband? Signed, Miss Messy. Miss Messy. Well, she may be your friend. You are not her friend. You are not. Because there is no reason that you should even be thinking about your friend's man being your husband. Like, there's no reason for that if that's your friend. So no, I don't think your friend's boyfriend could be your husband. Like, that's mad crazy. Like, that's wild to even ask someone. Like, I could just imagine the type of person that you are to even ask this question. So no, ma'am, not at all. If you do feel like your friend's boyfriend could be your husband, I advise you to separate yourself from that friend. Like, because there's no way that you should even feel this way toward your friend's man. Your friend's man shouldn't even cross your mind at any point, anytime. So, no, ma'am, I don't.
You've just tuned in to another episode of Kendra Stories with Kimmy Koo. And as always, I hope you all enjoy it. Be sure to go like, comment, subscribe, follow, and share. Tune in each and every Wednesday for a new story on a new episode with me, Kimmy Koo.